You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Yesterday, folks, we began our expose of the Marxist socialist engineering of the education of our children, using our children to spy upon the parents and the community, and as a method of social engineering for the future socialist totalitarian one world government, which is in the process of formation as we speak today. This latest little debacle with Iraq has bolstered the image of the United Nations in the eyes of the world. And if the United Nations gets its way, has put the United States in its place. And that's exactly what all this is, of course, intended to do. A lot of the research used in yesterday's broadcast, today's, and possibly tomorrow's, comes from Dennis Cuddy, Ph.D. He has, well, let me give you a little bit of background on Dr. Cuddy. He's done an awful lot of research and study on the nationalization of education and its merger with labor through the Clinton-backed school-to-work program. And folks, for over a decade, Dr. Cuddy has been an exhaustive researcher into the high-level machinations of the world's power elite. He's a former teacher. He knows what he's talking about. He taught in the public school system and at the university level. He served as a senior associate in the United States Department of Education for 6 years during the Reagan administration. He has a Ph.D. in American history. He's been a stunningly effective voice of accurate and disciplined criticism of the accelerating transformation of American education into an apparatus of subtle socialist coercion and, of course, social engineering. He's written numerous letters and commentary, and they've been featured over the years in the op-ed pages of national newspapers and magazines. He's also authored a dozen books and booklets on a wide range of topics. We're also taking information from Relevance Magazine, volume number 4, issue number 11, and from the tons of research that I and the members of my organizations have done over the years. So make sure you have pen and paper, make sure you're ready to take notes, and listen very carefully, folks, because what you're going to hear is going to really open your eyes. And if you have children in public school, it might make you very angry. If you missed yesterday's broadcast, you can make arrangements to order it, but you can't do it through this station or through the Independence Foundation Trust. You can contact Harvest Trust. Write a letter to Harvest Trust, P.O. Box 2470, Pine Top, Arizona, 85935. That's Harvest Trust, P.O. Box 2470, Pine Top, Arizona, 85935. That's 85935. And ask the Harvest Trust for a current tape list, and it helps if you send a dollar along to them for their troubles. Don't go away, folks. I'll be right back in just a second, and we'll start with the continuation of our subject matter.
Never in human history has so few have taken so much from so many, as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these gangsters and international government gangsters took it from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on Earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want it.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
The Illuminati wants you to be a slave from birth to grave. The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor a reserve. The cashists make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for 2 pennies. They lend it back to us at full face value. Then charge you interest. You get the debt. They get the interest. They get the gold. You get the debt.
They want it.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
Oh, yes, it is a big idea. It's too big for their britches, I think. America's Choice, High Skills or Low Wages, was released in June 1990 by the National Center on Education and the Economy, known as NCEE, with board members including Hillary Marxist Clinton and David Rockefeller. And if you think I'm kidding about Hillary Clinton being a Marxist, the record of her charitable donations throughout the years, ladies and gentlemen, shows a long list of Marxist socialist organizations, some of which are well known for their terrorist activities throughout the world. America's Choice, High Skills or Low Wages was produced by NCEE's Commission on the Skills of the American Workforce, which included Laura DeAndrea Tyson, Director of Research of the Berkeley Roundtable on the International Economy at the University of California at Berkeley. Tyson has been a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, David Rockefeller Chairman, 1970 to 1985, and would later be appointed Chairman of President Clinton's Council of Economic Advisors. America's Choice, High Skills or Low Wages proposed that students receive a certificate of initial mastery and laid out guidelines for a workforce development program that would seek to influence public policy and legislation regarding CIMs and STW systems. It also greatly influenced the work of the United States Labor Secretary's Commission on Achieving Necessary Skills, called SCANS, begun likewise in 1990. In its reports, the SCANS recommended the establishment of a, quote, nationwide system of human resource development, assessment, and certification, end quote. It also instructed business that, quote, your responsibilities must include developing the human resources in your community, your firm, and your nation, end quote, and stated that learning SCANS know-how competencies will, quote, take place through employers and work-based education and should continue for a lifetime, end quote. Remember what I told you. The goal is to control every living human being on the face of this earth from birth until death. The school and the community mental health center will become the center of the community, and you will literally go to school from the time you're born until the time you die. And this is just another confirmation of what I've been telling you. Almost all of the recommendations of the SCANS reports were then incorporated into the 1994 Goals 2000 Act and the 1994 School to Work Opportunities Act. How do you like being called a human resource instead of people or human beings? You are now a source of productivity in the business sector. In September of 1990, 3 months after America's Choice was released, Robert Breck's Polytechnical Education, a STEP, was published by the National Center for Research in Vocational Education at the University of California at Berkeley, with funding from the United States Department of Education. And in this document, ladies and gentlemen, one reads that, quote, the Soviet Union has developed a curriculum known as polytechnical education, rooted in Marxist-Leninist ideology. The German Democratic Republic has accomplished a good deal with its polytechnical education. The ideology of the Soviet education has blessed the melding of restructured academic studies and the preparation of students for skilled labor. That this should be carefully monitored for possible adaptation in American public education is not a far-fetched idea, end quote. In February of the next year, 1991, NCEE formed the New Standards Project, which included Hillary Clinton and likewise promoted the Certificate of Initial Mastery. In January 1996, New York State Attorney General Dennis Vaccaro opened an investigation into payments made by NCEE to Hillary Clinton and her Rose Law Firm between 1990 and 1992. Payments of $23,000 and $150,000 were made for work promoting NCEE's proposals to improve the skills of American workers. NCEE retained Mrs. Clinton from February 1991 through January 31, 1992, to direct its workforce skills program. Mrs. Clinton did not report the money on her tax return. In addition, the tax-exempt NCEE enjoys state funding, and at least one of the payments may have been made during the 1992 presidential campaign. A recent call to the New York State Attorney General's office indicated that the investigation is ongoing. The New Standards Project published a concept paper, Effective Public Engagement, prepared for its The Public Agenda Foundation. The concept paper indicates the standards will be national, and new standards, national tests, will rely on open-ended questions, which means subjective grading. The concept paper goes on to say that answers will be graded by more than one teacher, from school to school. Nationwide teams of teachers will look at the tests from different communities, and in describing who will set the national standards to be tested, the concept paper states that teachers, along with individuals from business and academia, will identify what they want high school graduates to know and be able to do. Outcome-based education is exactly what it is. Notice, folks, that parents are not mentioned anywhere. In his Richmond Times-Dispatch column, working on the Goals 2000 Systemic Change Gang, October 19, 1994, opinion page editor Robert Holland referred to the Public Agenda Foundation when describing a community action toolkit developed by the United States Department of Education and its tax-funded regional laboratories. About to be distributed by the National Education Goals Panel, Holland noted that among the toolkit's contents were, and I quote, letters to the editor, op-ed pieces, featured stories, radio spots, and even entire speeches already written endorsing the national education push, a troubleshooting guide for dealing with opponents, case histories of how opponents can be co-opted in order to implement curriculum changes, step-by-step plans for manufacturing support through the use of so-called facilitators and change agents. Change agents are people who steer public meetings toward a phony consensus. NCEE said one of its partners, the Public Agenda Foundation, already had been successful in designing and orchestrating citizen education campaigns in five communities. That's where the toolkit now comes into play. And sure enough, the Public Agenda Foundation's seven-stage journey to correct thinking is contained therein. At stage one, citizens may not yet recognize that there is no going back to the basics in education. We must go forward to a set of new basics required for success in today's increasingly complex and competitive global economy, end quote. The new standards project, together with the National Alliance for Restructuring Education, include over half the students in the United States. In the same year as the new standards project was begun, 1991, various scans reports were released, including one in June of that year, recommending the establishment of a national system for certifying competency similar to Germany's, quote, certificate of mastery, end quote. In a scans report for America 2000, which was titled Skills and Tasks for Jobs, Chapter 3 provides information on 35 jobs. And the report states, quote, for each job, you will find the scan's competencies and foundations rated in descending order of importance or criticality for that job, end quote. Curiously, for the job licensed practical nurse, of 17 foundation skills, arithmetic is listed as 11th and reading as 15th. For the job programming technician, the foundation skill, integrity, honesty, is listed as 13th, and the mathematics as 16th. And for the job hotel account executive, sales executive, the foundation skill, integrity, honesty, is listed as 11th, and arithmetic as last, 17th. Also in 1991, the Carnegie Foundation chairman David Hornbeck, a former out-based education consultant for the Business Roundtable, co-edited Human Capital and America's Future, which described an approach Hornbeck admitted might be subject to the charge of big brotherism. Governor Bill Clinton wrote an endorsement of the book, saying that it, quote, defines the very heart of America's opportunities for the future, an educated workforce. This book gives us a blueprint for achieving the dreams of so many people, end quote. It's pretty hard to quote these people without wanting to shove something right in their face. Got to tell you, folks, it's just sickening. Among those dreaming was NCEE President Mark Tucker, who in 1992 co-authored Thinking for a Living, which stated, quote, as this is written, the former members of the Communist Bloc in Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union are setting out to fashion new societies. Many of those countries have done a better job than we of building effective human resource development programs, end quote. You see how everything that they're doing is based upon something that the communists have done in the past. From beginning to end, there is no other reference, ladies and gentlemen. The same year, NCEE developed a Human Resources Development Plan for the United States that advocated a, quote, national system of education in which curriculum, pedagogy, examinations and teacher education and licensure systems are all linked to the national standards, and the standards are the same everywhere, end quote. On August the 2nd, Assistant Labor Secretary Robert Jones of the Bush administration announced that the federal government was preparing to deny aid and student loans to schools that fail to prepare their graduates with the skills needed to compete for jobs in the modern workplace, admitting, quote, this is a touchy subject, end quote. Shortly thereafter, Bill Clinton won the presidential election, and on November the 11th, Mark Tucker wrote his now infamous letter to Hillary Clinton. In it, he informed her that he had just come from David Rockefeller's office where they were celebrating Bill Clinton's election as president because that would allow putting into place their agenda to integrate education into a national system of, quote, human resources development from cradle to grave for everyone, we propose that Bill Clinton take a leaf out of the German book, end quote. Regarding required apprenticeship slots, relevant to this, however, was a paper commissioned by the School to Work Transition Team in the Office of Educational Research and Improvement, called OERI, within the United States Department of Education, one of a set of commissioned papers published by OERI in June 1994. In this paper, ladies and gentlemen, quote, determinants and consequences of fit between vocational education and employment in Germany, end quote. Professor James Witt and Arne Kalleberg stated that, quote, the German apprenticeship system is so expensive, Germany's contemporary vocational education system is closely linked to its secondary educational system. At age 10, students are tracked in a rigid educational system. After initial assignment, movement between tracks is rare, end quote. In other words, once they have slotted your child for a certain vocational education or a certain place in industry or business, that's it. Apprenticeships are an important part of many STW programs. And Germany's apprenticeship program is often regarded as a model for us to emulate. It is a comprehensive system of training and certification for 377 specific occupations. However, Drs. Witt and Kalleberg also found that the German system's training of apprentices was extremely costly, and only about half of them eventually took jobs that fit their training. Many apprentice bakers eventually worked for Ford Motor Company, as a matter of fact. And Syracuse University, where, incidentally, I just spoke as a guest of the African American Student Association, Syracuse University economist Kenneth Couch's study revealed that German apprenticeship graduates didn't make any more money on average than other high school graduates 5 to 14 years after their certification. Furthermore, the San Francisco Chronicle economics editor, Jonathan Marshall, wrote in the March 1995 issue of Reason, quote, America's lack of a formal system for training youth may be a strength, not a weakness. In a fluid job market where employer demands are changing constantly, specific job training in their teen years may be wasted. Studies show that developing general skills and cognitive ability, rather than narrow vocational education, helps students perform better on the job and in further education, end quote. On March 31st, 1994, Congress passed what was formally titled Goals 2000 Educate America Act. It was largely written for United States Secretary of Education Richard Riley by Michael Cohen, an ally of NCEE President Mark Tucker and the former director of NCEE's National Alliance for Restructuring Education. Prior to working for the National Alliance, Cohen had directed a project on restructuring the education system agenda for the 90s for the National Governors Association. The NGA's Center for Policy Research received $691,000 from the Carnegie Corporation for this project. The V of Goals 2000 created a National Skills Standards Board, a member of which would be Carolyn Warner, former superintendent of public instruction for Arizona, and a recent featured speaker in Beijing, China. According to the Arizona Republic, January 7, 1975, Warner ranked teachers higher in importance than the parents of their students, remarking that those who educate are more to be honored than those who bear children. How do you like that? That's the kind of thinking these people have. The latter gave them only life, the former teach them the art of living. The absolute despicable audacity of these new breed of reducators. That's right, I said reducators, Marxist socialists, is seen in Warner's presenting as undisputed fact the bizarre notion that teachers, not parents, are the traditional instructors in the age-old task of teaching the child the art of living. I get so angry when I hear these people talk. It's like they're living on some other planet and actually don't understand the slightest basic principles and ideals upon which this nation was founded and that made it the greatest nation in the world, with the highest standard of living. At one time, the best educational system in the world. And a lot of other things. The fact that we're on the downhill slide is because of these people, ladies and gentlemen. These people are destroying this country from within. They're not Americans. They're Marxist socialists. And if they had their way, and if it was fashionable to admit it, they'd come right out and tout communism. Because according to Karl Marx and Lenin himself, the ultimate goal of socialism is communism. Make no mistake about it. And if you think communism is dead in the world, read Mr. Gorbachev's book, Perestroika, where he will tell you clearly that the fall of the Soviet Union was a deception to disarm the West. And then read Golitsyn, the high-ranking KGB defector, who told us years in advance that there would be a deceptive disintegration of the Soviet Union in order to disarm the West and bring about a socialist totalitarian one-world government. And then go back and replay the old newsreels or videotapes of Khrushchev banging his shoe on his desk in the General Assembly of the United Nations, declaring to the world that, quote, we do not have to invade you. We do not have to bomb you. We will destroy you from within, end quote. And that's exactly what they're doing. If there was one place where NCEE's and Tucker's grand design should have worked, it was Rochester, New York, which had its school system virtually taken over by NCE in the late 1980s. However, by the mid-1990s, it was becoming clear that the Rochester schools were a disaster, total failure. According to that city's newspaper, the Democrat and Chronicle, May 7, 1995, quote, 40% of ninth graders don't make it through high school. Fewer graduates attain the state's more stringent Regents diploma. Most middle and high school test scores remained flat or declined. Teams of administrators, teachers, and parents formed to improve schools often didn't work well together. Middle schools created to cater to the needs of early adolescents are large, chaotic, and occasionally violent. We have failed, said Mayor William A. Johnson, Jr., end quote. But that doesn't deter these people. They want to implement these procedures nationwide. Why doesn't it deter them? Because the whole goal, ladies and gentlemen, is to dumb down the nation so that the people of the United States of America will accept their place in the new socialist world order. That's why the Constitution is not taught in our schools anymore. That's why the principles and ideals and the real history of this country are not taught to the students of our public schools. The editor of Relevance magazine tells me that he contacted the Washington office of the National Center on Education and the Economy and asked for comment on Dr. Cuddy's criticism of the center's backing of school to work. A press spokesman suggested that such criticism simply meant that the center's work wasn't properly understood. He offered to have an NCEE specialist on School to Work call us back to comment. We welcomed the offer. However, as we go to press, we have received no response from the NCEE, end quote, and he won't either. And now, if they thought he was just another community sheeple, they would hear back. And they would browbeat him and BS him and baffle him with baloney until he accepted as right their dictates. But he's not that kind of person, ladies and gentlemen. Philip M. O'Halloran would have won that battle, and that's why they didn't call him back. Nor will they. They've never returned any of my calls either. On May 4th, 1994, just over a month after Goals 2000 became law, Congress passed the School to Work Opportunities Act, which provided that states receiving federal funds under this act had to coordinate their efforts with Goals 2000 and the National Skills Standards Act. Everybody thinks they're getting something from nothing from the federal government. The foundation in law states that whoever receives a benefit from a benefactor must accept the benefactor's dictation on how they can use that benefit. There are always strings attached, ladies and gentlemen. And all of you out there, all of you who think in your wildest dreams that you're getting something for nothing from the federal government or even the state government, you need your heads examined. No government has anything that didn't first come out of the pockets of the people. What is wrong with you people? If you kept all your money at home, listen to me carefully. If you kept all of your money that goes out of your community at home, you could have the best school system, the best teachers, and the best educated children in the world. You could have the best paved streets, the best hospital, the best medical care in the world. You could have charities set up to take care of your homeless, people who are the victims of accidents, and the infirm and the elderly. The best in the world. Because out of every dollar that leaves your community, 95 cents of it disappears into the vast bureaucracy to pay these social engineers. And you think you're getting something for free when 5 cents of it comes back to you. It's a shame that F.W. Woolworth closed, because there's a lot of other people that would like to go purchase brains like that. People wonder why I get so upset. I used to have the most trust in the American people that you can imagine. And all we have to do is tell them what's happening. Source it, document it. They're smart. They love freedom. They won't let this happen. Boy, was I in for a big surprise. Most people don't want to be bothered with anything, except how to have a good time, where to get their next Budweiser, or how to get their next roll in the hay, or when they're going to have their next party, or how they're going to get the money to buy their RV or their boat, and to hell with everybody and everything else. They don't know what's going on in their city council. They don't know what's going on at their county supervisor's board meeting. They don't know what's going on in the county. They don't know what's going on in the state. How in the world can they even comment on what's going on at a national level? But they will. Oh, yes, they pretend like they know something. Now, if that makes you angry, I've hit it right on the nail. I have hit you right square between the eyes with the truth. If that upsets you, you are a sheeple, and you know it. And that's why it upsets you. It's like somebody walking down the street, and all of a sudden, somebody comes running out of a bank and says, "Stop, thief! Stop that bank robber!" Only the bank robber gets angry and runs, folks. Everybody else just turns around to look to see if they can see what's going on. So if it makes you angry when I talk like this, then I'm right on the money. I've hit my target, and you're it. You are exactly who I'm talking about. And you can pretend it's not true. You can blame all your problems on me or anybody else, but sooner or later, you're going to have to get up in the morning, go in the bathroom, look yourself in the mirror. Make sure you close the door so nobody sees your big, giant alligator tears, because sooner or later, you're going to realize that I'm right. Everybody out there, if you want to know what's wrong with America, go in your bathroom and look in the mirror. And don't think I'm lording it over on you, and don't think I'm some kind of elitist that feels that I'm better than anybody, because I'm going to tell you right now, for most of my life, that was me too. Just I woke up one day. I went in the bathroom, looked myself in the mirror, and big tears streamed out, and I said, Bill, you've been a stupid, fool, ignorant, apathetic idiot all your life, and that's got to change right now, and it did. So I have a lot of empathy. I understand where you're at. I understand what it feels like. I also understand it's got to change immediately if we're going to maintain our freedom and if we're going to have any kind of a decent life in the future. You see, I can guarantee that not one single person listening to this broadcast will like living under socialism. None of you. Now, if you don't believe that, there's a lot of socialist countries in this world. Take a vacation, a long vacation, because a week isn't enough. And go live under that socialism just like the local people do. And then come back and tell me how much you enjoy it. It's coming here, soon, to a local theater near you. Only it won't be on the screen. It'll be at the box office and in the seats. It will be you. And me. And everybody else who loses this battle. And it is a battle. The publication, ladies and gentlemen, also referred to planning and programming, like that employed by the notorious PPBS outlined in the fall 1995 relevance special report called New World Orders, the One World Movement versus United States Sovereignty, an issue that I've expounded upon for many hours on this broadcast. And like the hour of the time, Phil O'Halloran documents and sources what he says. It also referred to International Standards Organization 9000, or ISO 9000, which is a Geneva-based United Nations offshoot. The ISO series, which sets international standards for manufacturing, will become more and more important as education is internationalized. Now, folks, I hope you keep in mind at this point that the philosophy behind STW is that society must be managed, usually by a self-appointed elite. Not only have businesses like grocery store chains begun to adopt TQM, but so have school systems, which are also including it as part of their STW programs. STW is school to work, in case you forgot. In this regard, Richmond Times-Dispatch opinion page editor Robert Holland wrote of Tim Klim, a former Xerox executive for 10 years and a certified TQM trainer, in a July 9, 1997 column entitled, TQM and STW Combine as the Twin Thieves of Individualism. Holland wrote this, quote, now, Klim speaks out strongly against TQM's use as an instrument to alter American society radically. Few Americans, says Klim, have a clue that the Federal School to Work Opportunities Act A system currently being installed in all 50 states extends TQM thinking into the schooling of America's children. To institute the TQM process, corporate trainers must bring about a total cultural change wherein all employees shed their individualism for a unified set of corporate values. If corporations could hire new employees already steeped in TQM, they could save millions of dollars in training costs. That's where School to Work, a system avidly supported by many multinational corporations, comes in. As Clem noted, the STWOA, is the School to Work Opportunities Act, in case you forgot that too, explicitly calls for all students, all of them, to be steeped in TQM techniques of group problem solving and associated attitudes. In other words, socialist or Marxist collectivism. The STWOA, that was an end quote, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. The STWOA also calls for all students to be assessed according to such affective skills as self-esteem, working in a group, and appreciating diversity. As with TQM, Clem notes STW reduces all jobs to a task level. The feds are rating the level of skill that will be necessary for performing each task, and STW is to match up students with those skills needed in the area workforce. The assessments of a student's personal qualities and TQM competencies go to prospective employers. That's the way TQM and STW have been wired to work together. It would be very hard to imagine any piece of social engineering more destructive of individual initiative, inventiveness, and enterprise. In short, the destruction of the American dream. The undermining, ladies and gentlemen, of American individualism and independence has actually been underway for quite some time, a long time, as a matter of fact. Many educators today call themselves progressive and think highly of the father of progressive education, John Dewey. But those of us in the know that John Dewey is the man responsible for the stupidity of half of the nation's youth. Graduating children from high school that can't even read. Promoting students to the next higher grade level up when they can't pass the grade level that they're in for fear that their self-esteem might be damaged. Not only was John Dewey a leader in the intercollegiate socialist society elite, but he also wrote in Democracy in Education in 1916 that, quote, dependence denotes a power rather than a weakness. There is always a danger that increased personal independence will decrease the social capacity of an individual. In making himself reliant, it often makes an individual develop an illusion of being really able to stand and act alone, an unnamed form of insanity which is responsible for a large part of the remedial suffering of the world, end quote. According to Dewey, then, if you're dependent, you're normal. But if you're independent and self-reliant, you're insane, and that is the basic premise of socialism. This attitude, espoused by the really insane John Dewey and his insane followers, has had a lot to do with the development of the welfare state dependency and victimology we are witnessing today. You see, everybody has to be a victim, or socialism cannot triumph. And when you allow yourself to be a victim, you are promoting the victory of socialism and your own enslavement in the dependency upon the state big brother, who will change your diapers, tell you when to go to bed, when to get up, provide your entertainment for you, make sure that you have a job, and force feed you whether you want to eat or not. They'll stick a tube down your throat and shovel it in. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, human beings are now thought of as human resources. our human capital, not people, our human beings. Miss America for 1996, Chantel Smith presented STW as her program for the pageant. And when visiting Michigan, she spoke about our investment in human capital. That's what School to Work is all about. In 1996, with funding from the United States Departments of Labor, Education, and Health and Human Services, the National Governors Association produced Building State Systems Based on Performance, the Workforce Development Experience, a Guide for States, which on page 46 refers to people as, quote, humanware, end quote, spelled H-U-M-A-N-W-A-R-E. I quote, just 8 days after the president delivered his State of the Union address on February the 12th, which called for national education standards, Congressman Henry Hyde, along with federal and state legislators, held a conference on Capitol Hill to discuss the crises in American schools. Hyde stated, the profound changes in school curricula are happening under the guise of reform. The reason? The changes are designed to turn our nation's elementary and high schools into a coerced training ground for the labor market. These changes are designed to guarantee an ample supply of low-wage earners for jobs employers now have trouble filling, end quote, and will ensure that your child never has a chance to challenge the children of the elite on their own ground, never to become president of the United States, never to become a United States senator, never to become a chief executive officer of any corporation in the world, never to found their own business and make it succeed and improve the status and standard of living of themselves and their family. Never, 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 never. And if you think otherwise, you are playing a fool's game. American students are constantly hearing school to work being promoted as a means of preparing them for all the high-tech jobs of the future. What crap! However, U.S. Senator Richard Bryan of Nevada, appearing on C-SPAN on April 4, 1997, said, quote, there are 10% fewer employed in high-tech jobs than in 1990, end quote. Furthermore, in the Monthly Labor Review, November 1995, published by the United States Department of Labor's Bureau of Labor Statistics, there is a table entitled, quote, occupations with the largest job growth, 1994 to 2005, moderate alternative projection, end quote, which lists the top four largest job growth areas as follows. Listen to this carefully, ladies and gentlemen, because this is where your children will be going. Cashiers, janitors, and cleaners, including maids and housekeeping cleaners, salespersons, retail, waiters, and waitresses. And there's nothing wrong with these professions, ladies and gentlemen, if you choose or your children choose to go into that profession. There are some very honest, hardworking, and good people in this country who are in those professions, but they chose those professions. They weren't forced into those professions, like your children will be in the School to Work programs. They will be channeled into the professions where people are needed to be employed, and they can tell you whatever they want. That's the reality of the situation. If there are only 10,000 new job opportunities in high-tech throughout the nation each year, that means only 10,000 students will go into those jobs, and the other millions of students will go into cashiers, janitors, and cleaners, including maids and housekeeping, cleaners, salespersons, retail, waiters, and waitresses. Check the Monthly Labor Review, June 1997, page 16, for yourself. Don't believe a word I'm saying, unless you can prove it in your own research. Listen to everyone, read everything. But unless you conduct your own research, you will never know the truth. You will never know who's telling you the truth. You will never know who's lying to you. You will never know when you're being manipulated and controlled. And most of you, for most of your life, are being lied to, manipulated, and controlled. Whether you believe it or not, whether you want to admit it or not, it's the truth. Currently, students have the most to say about what career paths they take. But as human capital, their paths increasingly will be directed by society via school-to-work, outcome-based education, educational programs, so that they, quote, demonstrate certain skills, end quote. A leading outcome-based education consultant today, Harvard University professor Howard Gardner, who was involved in the infamous MACOS, or MACOS project, wrote Frames of Mind, The Theory of Multiple Intelligences. In it, he proposed that ultimately the educational plans that are pursued need to be orchestrated across various interest groups of the society so that they can, taken together, help the society to achieve its larger goals. That's called social engineering in simple terms that you can understand. He goes on to say, individual profiles must be considered in the light of goals pursued by the wider society, and sometimes, in fact, individuals with gifts in certain directions must nonetheless be guided along other, less favored paths, simply because the needs of the culture are particularly urgent in that realm at that time, end quote. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, even though one may have the desire and skills to choose one career, if society needs individuals in an other, less favored career, then the individual should be guided toward those other careers. This attitude has caused criticism of school to work, as Margaret Terry Orr of the Institute on Education and the Economy at Columbia University's Teachers College remarked, quote, "Not everyone embraces school to work. There is a deep fear we are going to track children into dead-end careers," end quote. I'm telling you right now, it's exactly what they're going to do. Relevant to the type of careers into which a student may be guided due to the, quote, needs, end quote, of her or his society at a particular time, Robert Holland wrote in the Richmond Times-Dispatch, February the 19th, 1997, and I quote, "Out in Las Vegas, Renee Tucker tells me that her daughter, Darcy, recently was pulled out of a geography class without parental consent to be administered a computerized assessment of career possibilities. Darcy wants to become a veterinarian, but the computer said she ought to become a bartender or waitress, and it spat out a list of courses she ought to take in high school toward that end." Mrs. Tucker said, quote, "We're Christians, and the school stepped on my toes as a parent. It is my job to direct my child's career path, and it would not be in her best interest to be a bartender," end quote. Ah, but it might be in Nevada's best interest. You see, given the huge hospitality needs driven by the gambling and the entertainment industry, it just might be in the best interest of government. Right? Of course. The federal government isn't promoting school to work as something imposed upon the people by Washington, but rather as partnerships among members of communities. This is their deceptive language. Anytime you go to any meeting where there is supposed to be a public discourse on the benefits, the merits, or the distractions, or the derogatory points concerning these things, believe me when I tell you that the audience is seated. The whole meeting was planned and will be controlled through its course to present a false consensus for and in favor of school to work and all of these programs that they want. And unless you are an astute, very smart judge of human nature and a very, very keen observer, you'll never know it. You better prepare yourself to confront these people. Take back your school districts. Educate your children in what they need to learn to succeed in society, become what they want to become. not what someone else thinks they ought to be. Because pretty soon, it will shift from ought to must, to jail term if you don't. Or for parents, if they stand in the way, they'll be breaking the law and going to prison. Eventually, that's exactly what's going to happen. The September 1997 issue of Community Update, a United States Department of Education newsletter, announced a September 16th satellite town meeting entitled Back to School, Families and Communities Working Together. The letter notes that U.S. Secretary of Education Richard Riley and panelists will emphasize the great need for community-wide partnerships. The Learning Channel will rebroadcast the September satellite town meeting on October 28th, and they did. The United States Department of Education produced the satellite town meeting series in partnership with the National Alliance of Business and the Center for Workforce Preparation. Most Americans never saw it. Well, I hope I've given you food for thought. We will continue with this tomorrow on the Hour of the Time. Don't miss it. If you know somebody who has school-aged children, make sure they're listening to 101.1 FM. Good night, folks, and God bless each and every single one of you.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Hey, honey. Something's not right.
Draw out your arms. It's Templar passing through. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
I'm from the IRS with a power to tax. Did you got a complaint?
Get out of this house. Surrender your guns. Give me your gold. You better obey if you want to come home. Answer yourself and do what you're told.
Hillary Salala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike. The moneyed founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land. And Clinton saying, hit the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of uproar strike, Clinton's preparing it for another huge tax hike. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, create the panic and rape the nation. Order. Crisis creation. Incite black and white. Program agitation.
Don't resist. You're surrounded by the UN in white and brown, the ATF, the men in black, from the one world order.
But it's not new. Iron Mountain, computer beasts, and cattle mutilations. Black projects, UFOs, and weird genetic combinations. The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get him. They came here with the OSS through Operation Paperclip. National ID, debit card? Yeah. Vaccination biochip, milk carton kit, genetic engineering. Clinton says her health plans for you and your own good. Sure. And Adolf Hitler's Robin Hood. Masonic mind manipulation. Inciting riots. It's crisis creation.
You're listening.